Welcome to the Naked Wellness Podcast. As a qualified nutritionist, I'm here to strip away the nonsense and get down to the bare essentials of nutrition and wellness. Join us as we debunk myths, chat with top-notch experts, and serve up practical tips that will leave you feeling empowered. Get ready to uncover the naked truth about living your healthiest life. Let's undress. Welcome back to the Naked Wellness Podcast. I am so excited to have you here today because it is week 3 of our 28-day Munchable March mission series, the 28-day mission to help you to conquer binge eating. And I'm so excited because we've been through week 1, which was all around the mindset. We've been through week 2, which was all about food and exploring the role of nutrition and balance and variety in your diet. And now we are on week 3, which is all about self-care. And I know that for a lot of people, when they think about self-care, it's like, oh, bubble baths, face masks, nails, hair, yada, yada. But self-care goes so much deeper than this. Self-care is all about actually prioritizing those self-care practices that are going to support your overall well-being, but more importantly, they're going to bring your cortisol levels or your stress hormones right down and actually allow your central nervous system to be regulated and for your body to just breathe. Oh my goodness. In today's day and world, we live such a fast-paced life, and I am so guilty of getting caught up in this where it's just go, 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 on to the next, ticking everything off, next task, next goal, moving forwards constantly that we forget to stop and just breathe and allow our bodies to regulate and to not be constantly fighting in this flight, fight, freeze mode. So that is what we're going to break down today. And we're going to go over each of the little tasks, the missions, or the lessons that are going to support this self-care piece for week 3. Now, if you are popping into this podcast episode and you have not yet to listen to week 1 or week 2, then definitely make sure you go and do that. Week 1 is definitely one of the most important. It's all about focusing on shifting those mindset patterns around food, body image, and self-worth. And it's a fundamental building block to this type of journey, because if your mindset isn't in that right space, then the rest of it is really, really hard. And you almost build this resistance to being able to go through the food aspect of this, or the self-care, or handling the holiday period. So if you haven't, definitely make sure you go back and you do week 1 and week 2. But if you have ticked off both of those, and I know that some of you have because you've been popping over to my Instagram, you've been sending me pictures, you've been sending me voice memos, messages, everything, and I love it. I am obsessed with you guys and the connection that we are building around this. So if you have not yet, let me know how you have been going on this 28-day mission. Then I would love to hear from you. All you have to do is just head over to my Instagram, which is KJ Wellness with 3 S's, and send me through a message. I'm checking my DMs every day at the moment because there's so many of you beautiful, beautiful people popping in and letting me know, and just I'm helping keep you inspired, motivated, and encouraging you. So if you feel like you need that, a little bit extra of encouragement and support going into week 3, then reach out and definitely send me through a message. But without further ado, let's dive straight into this self-care concept and what this actually looks like. So if you have lost your 28-day task tick sheet, whatever we want to call it, with all the missions on it, I have popped it in the show notes of this episode as well. So make sure you grab that up. As we can see, on the first day of week 3, we have practice self-compassion. Now, what the heck does this even mean? And I know that for so many people, they're like, I wouldn't even know where to begin to actually give myself that self-compassion. And I think I mentioned this last week, it must have been, or maybe it was the week before, when we were talking about in Australia how we have tall poppy syndrome, and so many people chop themselves down to kind of be at the same playing field as everybody else. You know, nobody wants to stand out or to feel like they're boasting or they're talking highly of themselves. So instead, a lot of Australians do the complete opposite, which is actually really sad, because it then means that you are encouraging your mind to always tear yourself down and tell yourself that you're not good enough, when in fact you have so many strengths and qualities. So this is where we actually get to start to practice that self-compassion, and you get to understand that life isn't always going to go your way. You're not always going to be perfect at everything, and that's actually okay. It's okay for you to not have ticked every task off, for you to not have achieved every goal just yet. You get to go easy on yourself. And I think there's a very clear difference between, you know, maybe, and if you find this triggering, then there's probably a bit of extra work or some layers that need to be peeled back on that. But I'm just going to be brutally honest. There's definitely a difference between playing victim And woe is me, I can't do X, Y, and Z because of X, Y, and Z, rather than actually truly not allowing yourself to feel good enough to achieve something, right? And then not actively taking the actions. Every single day, you have a choice. And I feel like you can still be pushing towards the goals that you have. You can still not have achieved those goals. Still not ne maybe necessarily feel like you are enough just yet and be experiencing maybe some imposter syndrome, but still actively take the actions to get you there and still be compassionate to yourself along the way. So some different ways that you can actually start to practice self-compassion is one of the biggest ones, and this kind of goes back to the first day of this 28-day mission, is brain dumping in a journal and actually starting to write out some of the things that you are proud of yourself for achieving. You could do something today to celebrate yourself. You could physically or verbally say to somebody else things that you know are some of your strengths and your qualities, or something that you are proud of. And this is something that I think is really beautiful. And I actually, one of my clients started doing this with her family, is they would sit down at the end of the day and go around the family dinner table, and everyone had to say something that they're really proud of that they achieved that day. Big or small, it didn't matter. But rather than coming to the dinner table and everyone, you know, complaining or putting themselves down, or which is so fine, and it's okay to complain, and it's okay to have those moments, but it's also really important that you also train your mind to pick out the things that you are doing well at and that you are good at and that you are proud of. So I want you to take that moment on this particular day, which then moves into the second day, because this is also a form of self-compassion, is actually gentle movement. Moving your body in a way that feels good. There is this massive stigma at the moment of exercise has to be structured and rigid, and it has to be going to the gym for hours or something so purposeful. Whereas, honestly, doing some real gentle stretching for 5 minutes, taking yourself on a coffee walk with a friend, gardening, being outside, rollerblading, whatever it is for you, I want you to actually show your body some love and respect and appreciation today, in the sense of moving in a way that feels really gentle and really, really kind. Now, for you, maybe that is going to the gym and lifting weights, but maybe it's not, and that's okay. So on that second day, it's about doing something that feels really calm and is supporting your nervous system and not spiking your cortisol levels. So maybe not a HIIT workout on this day, something that's a little bit more relaxing and low key. Now, the third day of week three is starting to reduce these cortisol levels even more. Again, like I said before, we honestly are living in a world where everything is so go, go, go. We do not stop. We do not pause. You know, we're up in the morning. Most of us, you know, there's coffee had, your cortisol levels are highest in the morning. So then you spike them with having caffeine, and then you're looking at a screen and you're on social media and you just spike it. And then we are constantly engaging in all these activities throughout the day that do then constantly just keep our stress levels really, really high. The body cannot differ between psychological stress or physical stress. It doesn't know the difference. So when we are really stressed out and our cortisol levels are really high, and our cortisol is our stress hormone, our body thinks that we could literally be in the wild running from a grizzly bear. It goes into a fight, flight, freeze mode. What do I do in this instant? It goes into survival mode of I need to protect myself. And so because it thinks that you're running from a grizzly bear, it doesn't actually think that you are going to be eating in this time. It doesn't think that you're meant to be doing anything else. So it doesn't have any digestive juices ready. It's very much in its protective and survival mode, which your body's not meant to stay there. It's fight, flight, freeze mode for a reason, because as soon as it feels safe again, it's meant to come out of that season. But in the life that we're living at the moment, we don't allow our bodies to ever come out of that. So on this third day, I want you to actually take part in some different activities that are going to help reduce your cortisol level. So this could be literally lying on the floor with your legs up on the wall for 10 minutes, puts your body into a stress-free state. It could be dancing around and releasing some of that tension that you are holding into your body. It could be going and having a sauna session or doing an ice bath. It could be literally doing yoga or deep breathing or taking yourself to the beach and going for an ocean swim. Whatever that looks like, they are just a few ideas. Obviously, there are so many, but I want you to engage in one activity on this particular day that really helps you to reduce those cortisol levels. Day four is all about a digital detox. Now, I feel like Obviously, social media, I think, is amazing and I think it's great. And I think there are so many positives to it. But I also think that it can definitely become a little bit of this vortex that we can get sucked into. And so this digital detox is going to be all about you actually looking at what boundaries do you have to set around your digital things, whatever it is, whether it's social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, I don't care what it is, but what are the boundaries that you need to be set? Maybe the first thing is to actually go through your social media platforms and do a big cull. Who do you have or who do you entertain or what content do you entertain on your social media that doesn't make you feel good, that makes you subconsciously compare yourself or subconsciously put yourself down or you walk away feeling not great compared to when you view somebody's content, it's uplifting and it makes you feel empowered. That's what you want, right? You get to create and morph your social media into making you feel really good when you go on it. So the first thing is definitely to go through, do a cull, but then also set your boundaries. How much time are you going to actually truly allocate to these apps and these social media and the digital world that we have? So for me, I've actually set a timer on both Instagram and TikTok for each day. Now, this in my timer, it includes the work that I do. So obviously, I'm on social media most days because I'll be in my DMs, I will be posting and doing stories, and that is actually included in my time that I have. So if I'm working a lot on social media for that day, I don't get much scroll time or anything like that because I don't, because as soon as it's that timer goes off, it switches those apps off. Now, you can obviously then go in and be like, give me more 15 more minutes. And yes, sure, sometimes I am definitely guilty of that, but it definitely makes you think. And after I've done it once, I don't go again, right? So this is where understanding what are you going to entertain and what are your boundaries and where can you maybe also set timers or limits or turn it off at a particular time of the day or put your phone in a different room once it's dinner time. Actually start to set your boundaries around this because even if you're not consciously aware of it, subconsciously, your mind is going into this self-comparison, this self of like, I wish my life was X, Y, and Z. I wish I was X, Y, and Z. And it's not helpful. It's actually a huge form of self-care to have those boundaries around your social media. So, digital detox on day four. On day five, you are going to take yourself out on a self-care date, whatever this might be. So, this kind of ties into the solo date. But it doesn't have to be solo this time. This is just something that you really allows you to actually celebrate you, whether it was with somebody else, which could be really amazing. And when I'm talking about a self-care day, actually doing this with somebody and telling them why you're doing it. So for an example, if I've had, you know, a really good day, and I say to James, for those that do not know, James is my boyfriend, you know, I felt really, really good today. I've feel like I've achieved so much. I really would love to go out and celebrate. That is such a huge form of self-care for me. And the fact that then I have somebody else to support me on that and to celebrate with me is really, really beautiful. Or I'm like, you know what? I've achieved X, Y, and Z. I'm gonna take myself on a little solo date to the beach or read my book, order myself a delicious meal, whatever it might be. And this could be something. It could be with lots of people, it could be with one person, it could be by yourself, it could be, you know, if you're a mum having 15 minutes to go and on a solo walk or to sit in your car and listen to your favorite songs or meditation, that could be a self-care date for you. Whatever it looks like for you, I want you to do this for yourself on this particular day. Six, self-trust building tasks. Oh, this is a big one because if you actively say to yourself that you're going to do something and you don't follow through with it, you are losing trust within yourself. For an example, let's say you tell yourself, okay, I'm going to go for a 10-minute walk today. And then at no point throughout that day do you do that 10-minute walk. You're starting to lose trust that you are not true to your word. And then this has a flow-on effect into other exercise that you do, maybe food that you eat, control around food, binge eating. So it's actually really, really important. And binge eating comes massively back into this, right? Every single time that you tell yourself, I'm going to have more control over food, but then you binge again, you're losing that trust. So this is why it's a fundamental aspect of this journey to actually start to rebuild your trust within yourself. And this can come from the smallest of tasks of, I'm going to journal for 5 minutes a day, and then you show up and you journal for 5 minutes. I'm going to put makeup on and do my hair and feel better in myself today. So you put makeup on, you do your hair, and you feel better in yourself. Like whatever that self-trust is I want you to do that, or I'm going to challenge a fear food today. And then you actively show up, challenge that. And every single time that you challenge it, or you tell yourself you're going to do something and you're building that trust, I want you to reflect on it. And how did you feel? Like, how did you feel when you actually showed up and journaled for that 5 minutes? How did you feel when you went on that 10-minute walk? Because more often than not, these things that we tell ourselves that we're going to do, it's for the greater good, right? It's to better ourselves. It's to push us closer to these end goals that we have. So if you can then actively recognize, celebrate, and reflect on the positives that came from that, it's only going to skyrocket the rate in which you build that trust with yourself, which is going to be so freaking powerful and very, very pivotal for you on your journey to taking back complete control over food. And then on the last day for week 3 is all about giving back, because we've been given to ourselves, and now that your cup is starting to feel really full for a lot of people, and especially women, it's in our nature to give back to so many others, and it actually makes us feel really good. So whether this is something like giving a compliment to a stranger today and giving back in that aspect, whether it's giving a friend or a family member the space and time to brain dump onto you and giving them support and encouragement, whether it's giving back to a partner and surprising them with something, it doesn't matter. But I want you to pick one thing to give back, whether it's even like, honestly, growing up in Melbourne, a lot of people, and especially after COVID made a massive impact on this. I feel like people don't really cross paths and say hello, good morning. And COVID made people literally cross to the other side of the street. I cannot tell you how much it might change someone's day if when you are out walking or you're out and about and you smile and say good morning, or have a lovely day, or hello. It could just make somebody's day. So even something as simple as that is literally giving back. It changes somebody else's day. You have no idea what's going on behind closed doors for other people. So you literally could be changing their entire day. But it also changes you, because you've given back and you've done something good for somebody else on that day. And that feeling is really pretty freaking cool and very, very powerful. So when we're talking about self-care, it's about, yes, topping our cup up and each day kind of rebuilding that self-compassion, reducing those cortisol levels, setting our boundaries, having that self-care, rebuilding that trust within ourselves. And all of this is fundamental to taking back control over food. If you've ever been in my teaching world before, you know that I explain binge eating and not having control over food as an onion, and you actually start to peel back those first couple of layers and realize that there is so much that's underneath the surface that you need to work through and get to that root of. But it this part of this journey is very, very key in having that control and stopping the binge eating, because underneath all those layers there will be aspects where you don't trust yourself, you don't have that compassion with yourself, you're not kind with yourself, you don't take yourself on a self-care day, you constantly cross your boundaries. And so going back and actually revisiting all of these is going to help you to take back that complete control. And then you get to give back to other people, which also tops your cup up, which is amazing. So that is all of our little tasks for week 3. I would love to continue to stay in the loop with all of you and how each and every day is going for every single one of you. So do not forget to come over and connect with me on my social media, my Instagram, which is KJ Wellness with 3 S's. And I will be in there chit-chatting with all of you as we go through week 3. And then I will be back in your ears next Monday to chat all about week 4 and starting to handle Easter as we move into that world of it. So I hope you enjoy the rest of the day or the night whenever you are listening to this episode. And I will chat with you next Sunday. Until then, you take care. Bye.